is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, welcome to Bible Home Church. Wonderful to be here with you today. Every day is sunshine with Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, we're talking about this series now of the false Jesuses. I entitled it, 1001 Jesuses. Well, there are many more than that, apparently. You know, the gospel is really very simple, but it is profound. Paul said, I worry lest ye lose the simplicity of the gospel. He said there's a simplicity to it. Isn't it a shame how many people try to add on to the word of God? They don't want to take it for just what it is. Every day I get letters in here from people that try to convince me of the most ungodly and ridiculous things that are not in the scriptures. Now, here at Bible Church, I hope that you agree with me. Our whole doctrine is centered around the Bible. You know, somebody said to me, Tex, what do you believe in your religion? I said, I believe in this Bible. Well, I know that, but there's so many different things in there. You can, you know, you could probably establish 6,000 churches just based on the Bible. No, no, no. You can't establish 6,000 churches because Jesus is the rock. And there is only one rock. There is only one foundation. Every other foundation is quicksand. And I looked at the gentleman like he had six heads. And he probably did. No, we can't have 6,000 churches. There may be some unessentials of the faith that you and I would disagree with and have some fun doing so. There are mysteries of the Bible that I may look at one way and you view in another perspective. But the essentials of the faith are there. They cannot be changed. They cannot be violated. And I listen to a number of prophecy teachers, and they are preaching the most unbelievable, ridiculous things that are not found in the Word of God. And when they have their own doctrines, many times going all the way back to Scofield, and they try to bring these doctrines out, they have to actually change the Bible or say, well, now, you know, the King James, it doesn't really mean that here. Or, well, now, I know the Bible says that, but that's not what it really means. They're trying to reinterpret God's Word, and it doesn't work. Well, just stick with the old tried and true, my friend. Just read the Bible for what it is. Don't try to add something to it. Don't try to reinterpret it. Don't try to read between the lines. Just take it for what it is, and it'll bless you. I have some wonderful letters that blessed me, and they also put a great burden on my heart, and I thought I would read a couple to you because I think they'll mean something to you. This is from a pastor, author of Wessel in Sykestown, Missouri. He writes, Dear Brother Mars, we read with special interest in your newsletter your concern about the lack of solid old-fashioned gospel preaching, coupled with basic doctrinal teaching being presented in our Christian churches all across America. We are both natives of Los Angeles and were privileged to personally attend and witness powerful preaching and miracles of the 20s and 30s. The body of Christ is weak today because we are not being established with strong Bible teaching. Brother Tex, we firmly agree with you and Wanda in your vision for Bible Home Church. We have been praying for this for years. Maybe it is not too late to still see revival as the prophet Habakkuk prayed in Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Here is a donation, a love gift to help Bible Home Church get off the ground. Please keep us informed. Bless you. Signed in Christ, Reverend and Mrs. Arthur C. Wessel. Well, Pastor Wessel, thank you so very much for that, those strong words of encouragement. Here's an email I got from Sister Mercine. She says, "Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Dear Tex, I wanted to let you know that I go to a home church on private property, a converted garage. Our pastor is Nelson Turner of Grantville, Pennsylvania. I read the letter that Nelson sent you, and I was also concerned by your newsletter about your radio home church. I wanted to thank you for taking the time to read Brother Nelson's letter and for responding to it. Our church is a small one, but we do our very best to walk the narrow path set in the King James Bible. It was a real blessing to hear your words, and they reassured me you are truly a man of God and have not given in to our wicked government. My sister, niece, and I drive 90 miles round trip each Sunday to go to this church. Tex, I know you must be wondering why. Well, the really sad thing is that there are no other places we can go to near us that believe the truth. They either are 501c3 tax-exempt churches, which we don't want to have any part of, or else they use phony Bibles. Oh, yes, sometimes the pastor will use the KJV, but then he doesn't say anything about using the vile NIV and other false Bibles. Also, they celebrate Satan's holidays. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Now, Mercine goes on to say, I truly hope and pray for you and your ministry. I know if it weren't for you and men like you, we would all be in much worse spiritual shape. May God bless you and keep you walking the narrow path with complete faith. Thank you, Sister Mercine. I do, too, like that narrow path. That's the only path to walk on. Broad is the way to destruction. Thank you, Sister Mercine. Here's a final letter I'm going to read today from Sister Judy. Actually, it's an email from the web page. She says, Dear Brother Tex, a year ago in October 1996, I found Jesus. Well, praise God, Sister Judy. Now she continues, Jesus has truly changed my life. I was raised a Catholic and always felt there was something missing in my belief system. Now I know that all I needed was to believe in Jesus as my Savior. I love Him and He loves me. Folks, let me stop right there. You know, Sister Judy just gave you the whole gospel message, the whole Bible in a couple of sentences here. She was raised a Catholic. But she's found Jesus now, and He's changed her life. She said she knew there was something missing in her belief system of Catholicism. But now, I know, she says, that all I needed was to believe in Jesus as my Savior. I love Him, and I know He loves me. Now, that's the whole message, isn't it? You tuned in to Bible Home Church today? Well, the sermon's over. That's it from Sister Judy. Well, we've got a little bit more to go, but it might be an anticlimax after this from Sister Judy. Now, she goes on to write, I attended a local Baptist church for quite some time after my baptism until I started hearing and seeing things condoned by the church that I did not agree with. For instance, Billy Graham was considered a hero, and I have never felt the man was sincere. The adulation given to this man, Billy Graham, was as if he was a living saint. This scared me a lot because it reminded me of the adulation the Catholics give to their saints. Let me stop here again. You know, Sister Judy has put her finger on something, hasn't she? Here she found Jesus. She believed in Jesus, so she wanted to go and attend a local church. She started going to a Baptist church. But then she started hearing things that didn't sound right. For example, Billy Graham was considered a hero and just like those Catholic saints, Saint Billy. Well, you know, many people say he's the Pope of the Protestant churches, the Pope of the Baptist for sure. And she said this scared her. Now, this is coming from a Catholic, former Catholic, that is, now a Christian. You know, sometimes the babies in Christ speak more wisdom than those who have been around 40 or 50 years and sitting in church pews, don't they? Let me go on with her letter here. She says, then at Christmas, during the Christmas pageant, the church actually incorporated Santa Claus into their program. Now, since most intelligent people realize that Santa Claus is a holdover from paganism, Why would this Baptist church allow this? Needless to say, I then began to question everything that was said to me at that church, even lessons given in Sunday school classes. I felt that if these people could be so deluded to think it is okay to put Santa Claus on stage with a Christ child, and if they thought everything Billy Graham said was true, and by the way, the pastor often quoted Billy Graham from the pulpit, then this was not the church for me. Wow. You know, let me stop here again because it just reminds me of the time man came to see me and he said, Tex, I was raised a Mason, not raised to believe in God. I was raised to believe in the Masonic Lodge. My grandfather is a Mason. He said, my father is a Mason. I've been a Mason all my life. And he said, and I went and accepted Jesus at a Southern Baptist church here in Oak Hill, Texas. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, well, I praise him too, Tex. He's changed my life. He said, I was an alcoholic. I was totally a drunk. No, nothing could help me. 12-step programs, AA, nothing could help me. But when I accepted Jesus, I never touched another drop. I don't want to touch another drop. I said, well, praise God again. Then the man said something to me that just bowled me over. He said, now I have a question for you, Brother Tex. I said, okay, well, I'm willing to answer any questions that I can. He said, what's wrong with the Masonic Lodge? Now, I know a lot of things about the Masonic Lodge, but I wanted to know exactly why this brother had asked me that. And I said, well, why do you ask me that question? You've already told me your family is steeped in the Masonic teachings. You were raised almost as a Mason. Your grandfather, your father, you, he also mentioned, by the way, his brother. Why do you think there's something wrong with Masons? He said, well, you know, I don't know. I always thought they were good. I thought the Masonic Lodge was so wonderful. And I thought if I ever did become a Christian, I would just incorporate what went on in the lodge with my Christian faith. I thought that would be good. They teach about being good men. But he said, you know, the minute that the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit came into my heart, suddenly, I don't know how this happened, but I just knew there was something wrong with the Masonic Lodge. I don't know exactly. I haven't figured it out, he said, but I know that God is telling me there's something evil and sinister about the Masonic Lodge. Well, he said, you know, he said, I went down to the altar there and I pledged myself to Jesus. I made a public profession of my faith. And he said, now, I didn't know that there was anything wrong with the Masonic Lodge at that time, but I gave myself over to Jesus. And he said, you know, at the end of the church, I was in the parking lot and a man came up to me and he turned out to be a deacon of this church. I said, yes. And he said, and he shook my hand and he gave me the Masonic handshake. And I knew instantly he was a Masonic quote unquote brother. And then the man identified himself as one of the chief deacons of the Southern Baptist Church in Oak Hill, Texas, out of Austin. And he says, and this man said to me, now we're twice a brother. And I looked at him and he says, I don't know what came over me, Tex. And let me tell you, friends, this is sending chills down my spine. He said, Tex, I don't know what came over me. I didn't know one bad thing. I thought the Masons were wonderful. I always respected Masons. I am a Mason, or I was. And he said, when that man told me that, he says, now we're twice a brother, meaning, you know, one time a brother in the Masonic Lodge and now a brother in this Baptist church. He said, I just looked him in the face and very solemnly I said, oh no, I'm leaving the Masonic Lodge. And he says, you know, he looked at me and his face turned white and he didn't know what to say and he just turned around and walked away. He said, Tex, I don't know why I told that deacon that. I don't know why I told him that. And he says, and I went home. All this week I kept thinking, well, why did I tell that man that? It was like God just took over and made me say that. He said, I don't know why I said that. I said, well, I do. I know why you said that. It was the Spirit of God on you. You were anointed by God and God made you say it. And God put words in your mouth of what to say and what to do. And he's made you into a new man. And then I went to my library there and I got a couple of books, you know, from actually written by former Masons that are exposing the Masonic Lodge. And I gave those to him and he said, well, praise Jesus. He said, these people were Masons like me. I said, yes, they were. And they got out of the lodge and they'll explain why. After they came to know Jesus, they couldn't stay in the lodge anymore, just like you. And you know, he just walked out of that office there. He took those two books and he was just, oh, he was so pleased that God had sent him to me for those answers. But I was pleased to see the power of God and the testimony of a brother. Now, here's this Christian sister writing to us, Sister Judith. And she's saying she was a Catholic, but she came to know Jesus, and suddenly all things came, the truth just came to her. She knew even what was going on in this Baptist church was wrong. Let me tell you now, let me finish the letter. This will be a blessing to you. She writes, since that time I have attended several different churches, and I keep getting signs that this is not the church for me. Not big signs, but little phrases, or after talking to the pastors, clues that this church is not what I'm looking for. What I'm searching for, Brother Tex, I suppose, is a church which is solidly Jesus-oriented and filled with the Holy Spirit. Is there such a place? Or am I better off reading the Bible and believing only in Jesus and His love without a church family? Can you help? She writes. Well, it makes me want to cry. Yes, Sister Judy, you'd be better off just reading your Bible and believing only in Jesus and His love. But you do have a church family. I want you to be part of the church family of Bible Home Church. Because we are solidly Jesus oriented. And I know the Holy Ghost lives in this church. Now, we're going to have a wonderful song now. This is Terry Bradshaw, the pro football player. And I'll tell you, he's got a hard exterior and a friendly smile and a soft heart for Christ Jesus. Here he is with Jake Hess singing a song I know you're going to love because it's about our Savior. And it just gets sweeter, doesn't it?
The more I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good from me He'll deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I couldn't stop now if I tried.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer,
richer,
deeper,
deeper,
fuller,
fuller,
sweeter,
sweeter, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
The moment He saved me, His grace He gave me, He put His love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing with Him I am going and never from Him to depart.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer,
richer,
deeper,
deeper,
fuller,
fuller,
sweeter,
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 sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. As the days go by, it gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer,
richer,
deeper,
deeper,
fuller,
fuller,
sweeter,
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 sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
His love is richer,
richer,
deeper,
deeper,
fuller,
fuller, sweeter, sweeter,
sweeter
as the days go by.
There's another Jesus, a Jesus that does not believe in the wrath of God. Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral teaches this Jesus. He's said in his book, The New Reformation, that he does not believe in teaching about sin and hell. He says that that's uncouth. He uses that word. It is uncouth to teach about sin and hell. And, you know, when is the last time you turned on a TV set and you heard people talking about the wrath of God? I mean, after all, this is the new age of enlightenment.
We have these altered states of consciousness, free love, free thinkers. We have a religion that says you can believe in God as you understand Him. That's the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step God. The higher power, by whatever name you give that. And in these ecumenical churches of today, the wrath of God doesn't really have a great deal of meaning. After all, it is true. The Apostle John, it says in the Bible that God is love. And so fire and brimstone and hellfire, that's only a myth, isn't it? Well, friends, I'm here to warn you, this is an age of deceit. This is the Laodicean age when men believe in prosperity and reject bad things. I can't tell you how many letters I get to the ministry here, people who say, I'm a gloomer and doomer. I'm always negative. Why don't you ever think about things positive? Well, it's pretty hard to be positive, my friends, when you see so many bad things in the world. And I have to say, that's just my mission in life, to point out the bad things. It is. That's what God called me to do. God didn't call me to go around saying how wonderful, how nice and fuzzy and warm everything is. He wants me to scare the hell out of people. And that's what I'm on a mission to do. And if you don't believe in hell, I'll be glad to tell you about it. And if it scares the hell out of you, that's wonderful. Then you'll be headed for the right place, which is heaven. I remember in the Bible, these false teachers, it says, are going to be really surprised. These lukewarmers, they're willing to accept that God is love, and by the way, I am too. But they don't want to accept the God of wrath. That there is a God, a Jesus, who would send people to heaven is one thing. But to have a Jesus who would actually condemn people to hell is quite another. I think God describes him very well in Revelation 3, verses 15 through 22. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. A little further down in those verses, God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So many out there want things to go along as they've always been. Everything is going to be good. Everything is going to be rosy. The world will continue. In fact, it'll get better and better. Every day and every day, every way, I'm getting better and better, was the old slogan taught kids in school. But Paul said things will wax worse and worse, with men deceiving and being deceived until the end comes. Who's right? The new teachers who say the new millennium will bring riches and prosperity untold, or is Paul right? Who's right? Those who say a great revival is occurring in the world and things will get better, and the glory of God will fill the earth even before Jesus comes. Are they right, or is the Bible correct? For it says in Revelation that even though God sends plagues and earthquakes and horrible natural disasters, that men repented not of their fornication and their evil doings. They repented not. Now, you can tell me all you want to about the great revival that's going to awaken the whole world. And I just told you there is going to be a false, great, counterfeit revival. It's already here. And I believe the name of Jesus will be on the lips of almost every man and woman on this earth. And it will be a false Jesus. You know, I was reading in Evangelist Kurt Koch's book, Occult ABC, about a man who was possessed of a demon. And the demon was cast out of the man... by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Jesus came out of the man, the preacher asked the demon what his name was, demanded to know his name, and the demon said, my name is Jesus. And the pastor said, you are a liar, what is your name? He said, my name is Jesus. I am the other Jesus. Friends, listen very carefully. There is another Jesus. And don't take into your confidence the man or woman who simply says, I believe in Jesus. You better find out which Jesus they believe in. Now, there's some folks that meet once each year. They're funded by the Rockefellers and others. And there's a theologist who leads this group. They call themselves the Jesus Seminar. And they're a bunch of nutty theologians, that's what I call them, that meet and put out press releases. And you know, I've seen them written up in Time and Newsweek and the New York Times, and they're counted as authorities, and every year they find something new about Jesus. One year they all voted and determined, these theologians meeting together as the Jesus Seminar, they voted that Jesus never gave the Lord's Prayer to the disciples, that it was all made up. Another time they said Jesus wasn't God, never claimed to be God, was just an ignorant itinerist. And they call themselves theologians. You know, I don't think any worse of those men than I do the Catholic Jesus. He's a Jesus who is very, very strict. He's a Jesus who is very rigid and dogmatic and almost mean. And you know, it's not safe to go directly to him to confess your sins. You really need to go to a priest confessor to go to confession. And when you pray, it's really not good to talk directly to this Jesus. He may be very disapproving. But his mother, Mary, is so much more tender and caring and nurturing. You can go to her. Or if you don't want to preach to Mary, there might be a saint. After all, there are hundreds and hundreds of saints. And you can go to the saints and appeal to them for intercession with Christ. I mean, after all, you can't go directly to Jesus, can you? You see, my friends, that too is another Jesus. The Catholic Church says that this Jesus wants you to believe that Mary is the mother of God, and Mary is the mother of all people on earth. And you can go to Mary with your cares and your problems, and she loves you and cares for you, and she's co-redemptrix of the universe. That is another Jesus. But that is a Jesus that is accepted in the Promise Keepers organization. In fact, a Catholic priest sits on their board of directors now. Another Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled The Millionaire from Nazareth and 1001 Other False Jesuses.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.